Mark Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're going to talk about the Celtics this hour, but we've got loaded lines wanting to talk about the Golden Knights.
It's amazing. Celtics lose a game and everybody just...
Everyone checks out.
We won't come out of woodwork.
Don't want to talk. It's not like the Bruins crowd. The Bruins lose, the Bruins fans get pissed.
Yeah.
They yell, they scream, they get mad at coaches, they get mad at players.
Celtics lose, they say, la,
they start blaming
la,
the GM
la,
in the front office.
La, la, la,
Celtics lose, it's like it never happened.
La, 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 la.
We're on to game four.
Didn't see anything.
We'll talk about the ref report coming up. Mark is in the car. Hey, Mark.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, Mark?
It's Mark in Medford.
Mark.
Yeah, it is. My question, I asked you, call screener. I heard from a few people, I think I heard it on TV, that the Golden Knights do have a sign in their locker room, and it said, nobody wanted you. Now, if that isn't words of inspiration, I don't know what is. But on the other hand, does this make Gary Bettman look good? Because I can't stand the human being as much as pretty much, except for Roger Goodell, he's got to be the most hated commissioner in all of sports. Don't you think?
So you think this makes him look good?
Yeah, this was kind of his baby, wasn't it?
Nobody will give him credit for it.
Get a team in Las Vegas. We need a team in Las Vegas.
I don't think commissioners really care what you think of them.
Seattle's next, and now he's looking into Houston. It's not working too well in Dallas right now. They might want to rethink that one.
Move Dallas to Houston, you think?
No. He wants to put another team in
Houston. Oh, yeah. See, that's a bad idea.
Yes, it is.
So for every good idea, like when he has one, once in a blue moon, nobody wants to give him any credit for it. I don't think of this and say, oh, give it all the credit to Gary Bettman. I give it to the league in general.
Yeah.
Give it to everybody.
Credit to the people running that team out there. You know who I'm happy for? Tosi and Jim was talking about this morning, too. Dave Gosher.
Well, Dave's not working.
I know. Dave's on TV. He's off.
Local TV ends after the first round. Actually, Tim in San Fran has a Dave Gosher thought.
Oh,
Tim.
What do you got, Timmy?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
This is a totally uncynical take here. I was just saying, you know who I really feel good for is Gosher. You know, it's like I was so sad for him to go. And, you know, Judd does a great job. But, you know, how great for Gosher for him to go to an expansion team in the first year. And that team goes to the Cup Finals. I mean, that's got to be good for him. And nothing really other than, like, you know what? Thumbs up. There's a great, you know, Sports Hub feel-good element to that, too.
Yes, let's throw that in there. Let's
like that.
Win one for Gosh.
Plus, he's a big Springsteen guy.
Yeah. He actually has been traveling with the team, Gosher, even though he's not.
For what?
Oh, he's part of the team.
Well, I've been there to order all the dinners for them on
part
the road.
Part of the team.
Hello,
I will tell
we'll
you.
Have the...
I will tell you, Hardy, having visited Gosh in Vegas a couple of months ago and having met some of the executives, if you will, from the team, there's very much a very family-like
everybody needs
feel
everybody.
To it.
You know what that's like,
though. They're sort of like, we're all in this together
yeah,
type of thing.
Like, hey, help me out of here. Like, I forgot my office was. Like, these offices are kind of cool, huh?
I mean, everybody there just moved there.
It's like camp. It's
right?
Like
they
camp.
All just moved there. Like, everyone who's working there. Has just arrived in Vegas in the last couple of years.
You ever go to a summer camp when you're a kid, and you get there, and after the first day, you're kind of homesick, and you're kind of feeling it out, and then the next day gets a little better, but by day three, this is awesome. I want to come back every year. You know, we're all together. We're all in this.
And so I think it came down to he's been the announcer all year long, and so they took their announcers on the road with them. Same thing they did in the regular season.
Good
they do
him.
In the playoffs.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's also been doing some radio for Westwood One.
Yeah,
so I don't know if he's going to have a shot at doing anything on radio this coming series. I don't know, but he'd be a good choice given that he called all their games all season long.
Right.
Knows the team well. Plus, it just, for him, I bet personally, it sort of validates your decision going from the Boston Bruins and all the history and tradition and being from here and the quality team that it is and the interest level to sort of taking a chance on a team like Vegas and a town like Vegas?
Yeah, nice opportunity.
To have it go as well as it has?
Normally, it doesn't go that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ryan in the car. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey.
So, I don't know if you've watched the opening ceremonies for Vegas at all, but they are absolutely insufferable. They just, oh, my God, do they suck.
Have you seen these? They are so cheesy.
It's pretty bad.
Well, why are they cheesy?
It looks like something that should be going on over at Excalibur.
Yes.
Next door.
They have somebody dressed. Well, first of all,
they have a night.
The kids who come out there on the ice crew, they're wearing these, like, LeMay, like, coverall things. They're supposed to look like knights. You know, like the smock thing that the knights would wear.
It's the
Can I show you one picture? So this is a still
shot. It's like the V thing with a belt.
This
like,
is not even
a video. Right.
This is going on the ice before the game. God.
It's like a short version of the opening ceremony of the Olympics.
Yeah,
now,
they have somebody
involving
as the
guys
Golden
in
knight
costumes,
and they will slay whatever opponent is going out there. Like if they're
Baldo
playing
before thee.
Yeah, it's like some version of a Bruin or some version
Samir
of a
flesh wound.
Yeah, somebody dressed up as something that would symbolize the Winnipeg Jets. But even when they come out to clean the ice, just I'm not talking about the Zamboni drivers, but the kids with the shovels. They're out there wearing these. like ice-capade reject
the
type
castle,
of costumes.
The castle with the drummers and...
There's weird stuff. There's a drum line that's like somewhere in the arena, and I was there. I went to two games, and I couldn't really see where they were or what the hell they were doing, and it's not quite loud enough,
it's
but
like,
it's there's something going on.
Here's I want Zoe to watch this and give us a live play-by-play, if you could, Zoe, for those at home.
Okay, it's nice. They got the big screen there. You get people fired up on a jumbotron. Oh God! Now they got some freaking Harry Potter nerd coming out between a castle,
coming out of a castle.
What a big castle, Vegas! You know what this is? This is like they took all the crap from the old Excalibur pyramid thing out there in Vegas, and all the people got fired.
Yeah, it looks like something stage that you'd see over at Excalibur. Like they're going to be jousting, Something like that. Yeah, here comes the Golden Knight.
You want to press me?
Want to
press me? Ride a freaking horse on the ice. I want to see that sucker run
around.
That's
right.
Out there.
Let's see a horse on the ice.
We fight with you.
Thank you, friends. Your honor is great.
Come, let us gingerly touch our tips.
Never touch the tips.
What movie was that?
Role Models.
Role Models. What's it called? Larking or LARPing? What is it?
LARPing.
LARPing.
Stifler, whoever his name is.
Don in New Hampshire. Don.
Hey, guys. I was out in Vegas last week, and on the away games, they set up a thing at Red Rock Casino, an outdoor, watched the game, and that was packed. It was a great time. And then Wednesday, the home game, they had a flyover before the game. They really do it top-notch. I was with two guys from Canada, one from Montreal, one from Ottawa. They said it was the best hockey game they've been to in their lives.
Nice.
They loved it.
Well, good for them.
What's the point of a flyover for a hockey game?
Well, I mean, if you're outside and you do that, it's kind of cool.
Did you go to a game when you were out there?
No.
Okay, so they've got the big open air, like, meeting area out in front of the, the T-Mobile Arena?
Oh, so you do it for the people that are watching outside.
There's like outdoor like dining and places to drink and, all this stuff going on like outside of the arena before the game. Yeah, so it's for them and it's over the strip. Yes.
Yes. Hockey and booze and partying and gambling.
Of course.
Vegas. All for Vegas.
I'm always in favor of a flyover. I love the flyover. Who doesn't love a flyover? It's the best. Zoe, you don't like him?
Love it.
Zoe's an American. If you haven't caught him telling you that before.
You know, I see a flyer. It makes me love
it. Bought a real flag stick on my house this week.
A real flag as opposed to a fake one?
I usually put the bunting out, like the half moon bunting.
The sign of the bunting is opening day. Okay, thanks,
actually,
Johnny
Farrell. Flag stick with a real flag, and we're sticking that baby.
Thanks, John. Coming up next, Saturday night Celtics game. What it means for the Celtics going into game 4 tonight.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1221 here on Tolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Celtics got blew out Saturday night. I get the feeling that a lot of people didn't stick with that game until the end. I get the feeling that a lot of people, unlike us, are going to stick it out to the bitter end. Probably checked out on that game. I was so ready to check out on the game that I like to typically watch the post game. I do playoff games no matter what the sport.
Right.
I like watching all the post game stuff.
Yep. I watch Iron Man 1 and 2.
Nope, not Iron Man 1 and 2. I don't go to the movies. What I do, like NBA playoff games, I have a go-to spot, and I apologize, it's not NBC Sports Boston. I go to NBA TV. That is a station that, outside of playoff nights, I never turn on. Never in a million years would I turn on NBA TV for anything.
Okay.
But after playoff games, you can go to NBA TV, and they will just roll the press conferences. You just wait for the press conference, and they will just roll them all in their entirety, and you can watch all the post-game stuff. And that's what I do. I don't want to get, like, the best minute of post-game according to whoever's cutting it up. Like, oh, here's Ty Lue, and you get 2 minutes of it on one of those other recap shows, like TNT or ESPN. No, I want the question. I want Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. I want that. I want the microphone for the reporter. I want the entire experience of being there. I didn't even want to do that on Saturday. I said, can't do it. Not doing it tonight. I've seen enough of this crap already tonight. There is value in the Celtics getting whooped. Terry Rozier basically said as much after the game that this is going to allow the Celtics to kind of get brought back to reality for tonight's game.
I mean, it's something that we're going to look over the film, go back, see all the mistakes we made, how can we correct them for Monday. You know, we know it's not going to be easy Monday either, but, you know, we got to come out and play better. I feel like we needed this, you know, to get us back, to get us ready for Monday.
What they probably want to do as a team is put the tape in the garbage and never watch it.
All right.
But you have to. You have to watch that tape. And I know the Celtics have watched the tape. And the Celtics are saying to themselves, we can't let all the shooting in the first quarter tonight come out from Marcus Morris and from Terry Rozier, who has not been the same on the road during the playoffs as he is at home. Not the same player. And Marcus Morris, as soon as he has that open look, you know he wants to shoot. You have to do better than that. You have to create opportunities offensively for Jaylen Brown early. Even if the Cavs once again decide to zero in and focus in on him, you have to create for some of your better players.
Yeah, I'd shake the lineup up tonight. I would. And I know they said they're not. But I guarantee you, Brad Stevens did not sleep after that game. That guy was pissed after that game. That's a guy who'll go through that film and start watching it late Saturday night, make all your adjustments, get in with the team, do it again yesterday, not sleep Sunday night, and then get ready for the game today, and still probably watching more film.
Do you know who I think has to be a factor early?
Players slept well, though. Go ahead.
Outside, I'm not going to say Tatum, because I know that Tatum early on, I think it's been a bad matchup, but Jim's been on this. He said, you know, if there's a guy to come out of that lineup, it's got to be Tatum. Maybe it's not come out of the lineup, but maybe it's a quick pull him off the floor.
What's the difference? Just start Baines.
Why? Right. Because you know how this works.
Baines sucked.
You know how
the other
players
night.
Are, even if they're not egomaniacs, which I don't think this team is. This team doesn't play that way.
Baines looked lost the other night. Baines and Morris.
He did not have a good
night.
But I'm going to tell you, you know who we need to say? Yes, there it is.
It's Horford.
Early. Horford has been their guy.
He's your
whenever they've
big money guy.
Needed something, they've needed a bucket, they've needed a rebound, they've needed something this playoff run.
Yeah.
He's been their guy. You know what they need him right now? They need him out of the gate early. They need him to create something offensively early.
That's why you start Baines, because Tristan Thompson shut him down the other night.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson can't guard him if Baines is on the floor.
That's a good point, Jim.
It is.
Love has to guard him.
Yep. Brad Stevens said today, there's nothing more therapeutic than watching a bad film session and then coming to the gym and getting it out of your system.
There we go.
So they had to watch that tape. They had to fix some of the things. And because of that, you know they should not get blown out again tonight. That should not happen.
Right.
There are things that they can fix in there, including defensively giving up those great looks that Cleveland got from three. How do you think they hit 17 threes in that game?
I know. I mean, you lose this game tonight. If you're the Celtics, you lose this game tonight, and it is tight, but you play them down to the wire, I still feel good about the Celtics winning this series. I really do.
All
coming
that
back
great
to Boston.
switching and great defensive communication that we saw from the Celtics at home seemed to evaporate on Saturday night. Where did that go? And it's not that it went anywhere. They just weren't executing well.
And I think it's the problem with a young team,
and that
too,
is young team, road environment.
Yep.
Harder to do.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to.
That's where
this
shots.
Harder
missed
to
shots
do.
Versus made shots. You can't get back on defense. Make your shots, and you get back on defense.
It's like that's what this NBA, that's the NBA. Road teams, veterans, and you know, they eat you up in your building. You watch that other series, how physical it's been.
But Zo?
I mean, you better get your ass in gear. If you think you're even going to win this series to what you're going to face next round,
they're going to settle down. They're going to have a much better game tonight. They're going to settle down. They know the environment.
Isn't this?
They got their ass kicked on Saturday. Terry Rozier, as he said, this is good for us. We are now in a series.
Yeah.
This team has always been its best when they feel like they've got their back up against the wall.
I thought Horford's been the best postgame, too. He said, I can't wait for Monday night. I'm looking forward to Monday night. It's a redemption night. Got to get back out there. That's where that guy's leadership has got to be big early in this game.
There is something to this team that they don't know how to handle being up. They don't know the handling of the success. It's not their comfort zone. All they want to do is bitch about how people don't believe in them and how they've clawed and fought and, you know, fought back against everybody and everything. I think it applies in game, too. There's something to that with this team. They are more comfortable when they feel threatened. They're at their best when they feel threatened. Not like anything else in life, but they feel threatened, and that's when they've been their best.
Right.
They've got this experience, too. This happened in Milwaukee. First series, out of the gate.
And
they played well in game four. They lost it, but they played well.
But this is where you have the advantage over them. This is coaching now. This is where it's all in-game adjustments, adapting, and what we credit Brad Stevens over the years for. Whether it was good or bad, his ability to adjust within a series. Whether that's rotations, everything. Bench, shorten it up, tighten it up. Maybe he needs to go deep tonight. I don't know. We can't wait to watch it. And you're right early. Horford's got to be part of this offense early.
And even games are the big games, Jim. Even games are the big ones.
Who's the ref tonight, Beetle?
Not the... Who's we're going to... Calm down! We're going to get to that.
I'm still an odd game guy. Well, game five is more important than game four.
Saturday's going to be 85.
Woo! Weather report? Yeah. We're getting to weather report.
Odd
now.
Number weather reports? Odd number temperatures?
What does that have to do with anything?
Memorial Day weekend. Looks good. Looks nice.
Are we off next Monday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Two.
So we might have game six and seven, and now we're not back on the air till Tuesday.
I have a hard time remembering what holidays we work and which ones we don't. Okay. We're off Monday.
Yeah.
Good to know. Hardy, take a mental note about that. Monday. We're not
Memorial
working.
Day.
Yeah.
We're at the Baseball Tavern next Wednesday.
Oh, yeah?
For the makeup for the Patriots Day.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. All right.
We'll be there.
That could be a good time.
Mm.
Good to know.
Mr. Rooney, please put us in the upper upper level outside.
Oh, so we could totally lose Zoe for the entire show.
Yeah.
Put him outside.
Outside up top. Roof deck.
Post-Memorial Day outside show.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I might wear flip-flops that day.
All right. You want your ref report, don't you?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the names right now. I'll give you the details next, but here are the guys: Eric Lewis, Bill Kennedy,
and
Scott Foster. Oh, your refs tonight. What that means next?
Sports Hub headlines:
Celtics Cavaliers game four tonight. Excuse me, in Cleveland, as Beetle just said. The referees we've known for a while. We'll tell you more about them. Coming up here in a couple of minutes, we're going to get the pregame from Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell starting at 8 and tip-off sometime right around 8:30, a few minutes after. Right here at the 8-5, the Sports Hub. Let's hear from J.D. Martinez after he had two home runs yesterday in the Sox 5-0 win over the Baltimore Orioles. Team playing well right now?
You know, I'm definitely excited about it. This is a good team. This is a well-balanced team all the way around. You know, they have speed. They got, you know, pitching, bullpen. They got guys. We have guys off the bench that could, you know, play well, not just fill the spot. You know, they can actually strive in those situations. You know, when you put them in there. I don't know. I think it's just a well-balanced team, and it's just exciting.
Three out of four from Baltimore as the Sox will now hit the road for a quick three-game set against the Rays in Tampa. Meanwhile, the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Final, they beat Winnipeg 2-1 yesterday. They take the Western Conference in five games. The Lightning and Capitals play Game 6 tonight in Washington. Tampa's up 3-2 in that best of seven. Headlines are brought to you by Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores. Big pre-owned sales event going on all Memorial Day weekend. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness.
Eric Lewis, Bill Kennedy,
and he began to
speak. Scott Foster, your referees tonight in Cleveland. This can't be good for the Celtics. I'm sorry, you can't. There's no way the league puts Scott Foster in a situation to tie up a series and have a Game 5 in Boston with LeBron and the Celtics tied up at 2-2. That means the series is going a minimum 6 games. It also means it would do monster ratings in Game 5. I'm not feeling good about the ref situation for the Celtics tonight.
Cleveland in a close one tonight.
Here's the data. Here's the data on refs Bill Kennedy. You know, 71 refs this season. I've gone over this before. Where do they rank? You rank them by how the home teams did against the spread. Bill Kennedy ranks 38 out of 71. Okay, so that's just right in the middle. Right in the middle. Not really home or road advantage. Eric Lewis this year is 22 out of 71. Home teams have benefited with him. This is regular season. Scott Foster, 27 out of 71. Home teams did well with him this season, 34-34-1 against the spread. Here's a better stat for you. So all these guys are either in the middle of the pack, as is the case with Kennedy, or they're on the home side of things like Lewis and Foster. That's just this year. How about this? Teams that have been down in their series this year, teams that are trailing in their series, Miami, Utah, New Orleans, and the 76ers in Game 4 against the Celtics. Losing teams are 4-0 this postseason with Scott Foster on the game.
Say that again, please.
Teams that are trailing in their series.
Yeah.
Like the 76ers were, down 3-0.
Yeah.
Scott Foster's on the game. They won. That was also true for the other three games where there is a team losing with Foster on the floor, losing their series currently. He helped them get a win. 4-0, the losing teams. Is this not a perfect spot for a fixer?
Yeah, fixer and a tight one.
Oh, that's a pain.
All right. We do this every single time. We do this every single time we have a Scott Foster game, but let's do it again. Tim Donaghy, disgraced NBA referee, made repeated phone calls to a second referee over the course of 2006 and 2007, according to court documents. Scott Foster had 134 phone calls with Tim Donaghy. That's more phone calls than Donaghy made to his bookie. He made 126 phone calls to his bookie in that time. He made 134 calls to Scott Foster in that time between October of 06 and April of 07. The majority of the phone calls lasted no more than 2 minutes, and they occurred prior to and immediately after games. I mean, what do you think they were talking about? Call him right before the game, call him right after the game, and I call him more than anybody, even more than my own bookie. With the exception of the 150 calls that Donaghy placed to Thomas Martino, to whom he says he provided picks to win the games, and who is the middleman between the ref and a bookie, Scott Foster would be number two on his list of how many times he called people. So the guy he placed the most phone calls to, 150 was to the middleman, the guy that he gave the picks to, and the guy who talked to the bookie.
Yeah.
He made 134 phone calls to Scott Foster, and he made 126 calls to a bookie himself.
Well, maybe those guys are buying lunch for him that day. He's just calling
his
order.
Yeah, I mean, they are friends. Guy can't call you. You can't call your friend.
So why do you think it is that Scott Foster was never implicated as part of it?
It's kind of like, you know, Deflategate, and you go through the whole thing when Brady called Dorito Dink and Johnny Hotfingers. Never called him before, but boy, a lot of texts and calls back and forth that week of.
The order of it doesn't look good either. 10:34, like this is a, just a random day. This is December 30th, 2006.
Sure.
You want to know the timeline on a given day? Scott Foster.
Are we
here we are.
Every
we're
Scott
down,
Foster.
Yeah, we are. We're down the rabbit hole.
Well, you can do this, but I have an explanation for all of it. Go.
Okay, good.
Go.
Excellent. 10:34 a.m. Tim Donaghy called Scott Foster.
Hey, what are you doing for New Year's Eve tomorrow night?
10:35 a.m. Donaghy calls another referee.
Hey, we're thinking about doing a refs-only New Year's Eve bash.
Yeah.
10:36 a.m.
You bring the little bottle poppers.
Okay.
You bring the poppers. Ready? You bring the champagne.
So this call to Foster lasted less than a minute at 10:34. At 10:35, he called another unidentified referee. Lasted less than a minute. 10:36, he called his middleman, Martino.
I just love that.
Martini getting an invite? Hit me. Is he getting an invite to the party? So that call lasts a couple of minutes. At 10:39, he calls Foster a second time.
Hey, I just called Martino and told him he's not invited. It's refs only.
Okay.
He's pissed.
5:15, Donaghy calls Martino. 5:23, Donaghy calls Martino again.
I thought about it some more. You're invited after all. We'll see you at the party tomorrow night.
7 p.m., Donaghy refs the game between the Heat and Magic. Magic blow out the Heat, 97-68. 8 p.m., Foster refs a game that same night between the Raptors and Grizzlies. Grizzlies win 110-104. Foster and Donaghy speak 12 minutes after that game ends. At 11:27 p.m., Foster and Donaghy speak for the fourth time that day again. 11:38, 11 minutes later, he calls him back and they speak again for the fifth time that day.
You going to order the Chinese food for tomorrow night, or do you want me to do it?
The following day, Donaghy calls Foster at 1:37 p.m. They speak for 2 minutes. And then a minute later, at 1:40 p.m., he picks up the phone and calls Martino. The hell do you think was going on there?
Well.
So why did Foster get off? This is always the best part. Why did he get off? Why did he not get bagged? I mean, there's all this communication going on between a bad ref and a guy who was on the take and was dirty and Foster. Why did Foster not get caught up in it? He knew too much. He knew too much, and you know what else he probably was doing? He had been told in the past by someone in that league. Now, I think Felger's theory is that the NBA wanted it to be a rogue ref. They wanted only one. They wanted it to say it wasn't a conspiracy. It wasn't widespread. It was just one guy. What if it were two guys versus one? Does that make it that much worse than it already was? No. Foster knew something that the league didn't want out there. The league had to have protected him at some point. What if he had been told to fix a game by the league at some point in his career? What if the league said, we need this series extended? Hey, go for the home team tonight. We need the TV ratings. We need the inventory. We need another game. We need to extend this out. What if he had proof that those conversations had happened at some point between the league office and him? And if you try and take me down with Donaghy, I'm telling you, I'll tell the whole world what this league is up to. Oh, he had nothing to do with it. He's a good rep. We'll protect him. Down goes Donaghy. I think something happened where he had to have had something to would have ruined everybody.
And then in turn, we're just going to keep having this guy roll out there and fix games over and over again?
What's your choice at that point? You're going to have him keep being a ref. If you want to make it look like he really had nothing to do with it, what's your choice? Just keep trotting him out there. And oh, by the way, we still have our guy.
I think tonight's a prime spot for the streak to be broken.
They're married to each other. The Scott Foster are forever linked. Well, they can't get rid of each other.
Fast forward here, too, with the new gambling stuff. Imagine with information that you're going to get where you can legally now look into seeing where wagers are placed on games. And if there is some sort of history where some of these guys still have connections to referees within the league, I'm not saying it's happening next year, but when it becomes rampant and when it's available in every state, you're not going to be able to control this stuff. Roger Goodell sent out an email today. It was laughable. Hold up highest regard in the anti-gambling and staying away from them. Really? Really? That's a funny email you sent. Nice statement, Raj.
And just the
I know you got to send it, but
the days that these calls happened, January 27th, Donaghy wasn't working, but Foster had a game that night. He called Foster five times that day. Hardy, five times he called him.
How many times Scott Zolak call you on a given day?
Most days, not at all. Some days, once or twice.
FaceTime. When do you include FaceTimes?
Not much.
Not recently, not very much at all. The summer is coming, though. Wait, summer's coming. Summer months, it gets out
of here. Off days coming.
Right. But that's not a good example. Let's talk about adults. When adults call each other.
Oh.
Like, you know, you and I, Hardy, how often do we call each other?
Once a month.
Once or twice a month, we'll need to call each other.
All right, it's suspicious.
You would think. Just a wee bit. A wee bit suspicious. My fear is tonight Celtics could have a great game and still come out on the wrong side of it. Right, Cel?
Yep.
What'd you say? Close game?
You're losing a close one tonight.
Losing a close one.
A couple key calls.
It's 2-2. We've got a huge game five.
LeBron or
sneaky big game five. J.R.
Smith might need a call or Kevin Love. You don't want to put clunky Baines on anybody. God forbid he makes any body contact.
Like somebody like Horford get a T in the first quarter and you're like, all right, come on.
Yeah. Jim pulled up. Jim, when was that game from? You have a
last
clip
week.
In there. He's got a clip in there of Foster on the herky jerk jump ball. Like
he goes to throw the and he pulls it back down.
Charlie Brown them.
Your calls are coming up next on everything from the day: Celtics, Red Sox, Vegas Golden Knights, and the expansion teams in sports. Plenty of Celtics calls to get to. We also do want to touch on a story related to. I don't mean to laugh. I'm laughing because of Zoe talking about how he thinks he could beat the bear. If you fought the bear last week, you would have beat the bear.
Got a new thought on it.
He's got a new thought on that we will address before the end of the show.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, we have a game plan that's set up for game four, and that's what we need to do. You know, no matter if they make adjustments or not, you know, we have to try to execute that. And if we do that, then we give ourselves a chance to win.
Is this Sanford, son?
No.
Got a lot of new music added to the system, huh?
Part of Hardy's job. Had a big meeting with the boss last week.
Oh, he did?
Oh,
nice.
True or false? You had a big meeting with the boss?
I wouldn't call
music.
It a big meeting.
Was it a meeting?
Yeah, we met.
Was it with the boss? What meeting with your boss is not a big meeting? That's what I like to say. Right, so?
Why is the intern smiling?
I don't know why the intern's smiling.
God,
I don't know.
What is funny right
He's
now?
Always smiling. He's smiling at me. He's smiling
so I walk at me. I walk in.
Ah, okay.
So, first of all, our intern asked Jim Wilde who was Gary Bettman today. And then I walk in there during the last break, and he's like, what's up, man? I get to check out some girls' lax tonight at the SL. I'm like, the SL? He's like, yeah, man, Silver Lake. That's where I'm from, bro.
That's what he said? Did you say that?
He's a lacrosse bro.
You say it like
Jim?
That?
Jim, did he say it?
Exactly like that.
Where's Silver Lake? South Shore? You down there?
He's got a PA gig tonight. He's doing PA for some high school games.
Sweet.
Are you going to suck or are you going to be any good?
It's the first time ever.
It's going to suck.
Just listen to the script. He's got a script.
You've never done it. You've never done it?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. They're in for a treat. They're in for a treat tonight at Silver Lake.
The SL.
The SL.
The SL. Right.
Right. To your phone, 617-779-0985. Tom in Weymouth.
Tommy!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's going on, Tom?
Hey, that's the conversation you guys were having about the phone calls.
Okay, we're going to put
I'm
you
not
on hold.
Because I doing
we
it.
Can't hear you, Tom. Sounds like there's a lot of noise in the background. Maybe it's a Bluetooth. I don't know.
Lee's phone was even bad today.
It's been a bad day on the phones. Not because of the...
Felger thinks it's our system.
It's not. That's not.
Okay.
Patrick in Marlboro. Patrick.
Hey, guys. Let me take you off speaker. Hold on.
Please.
All right, yeah.
Okay, we'll put you back on. Old Peter in Jamaica playing. Peter.
Guys, how you doing?
Oh,
hey, Peter, how you doing?
Oh.
Am I coming in all right?
Average.
Hey, coming in for average.
Here, baby. Yep.
Lock okay. All right,
okay.
Before the series started, I picked up
Jesus Christ.
Okay, we're going to hang up. Peter, call us back. We'll try Tom and Wayman. That's Tom and Wayman now. Okay, we're hanging up on him.
We're going to play music. It's beautiful out. We're doing Yacht Rock the rest of the way.
We've hung up on those two callers, hoping you call back with a better connection.
Loaded lines, trying to take calls.
And now the third one just dropped. Wow, three calls, and they are now all gone. In a matter of
I saw Dennis and the seconds. Other guy. It looks like Wayne in there, like Fat Wayne. He's in there, and that's like they're trying to pull plugs and stuff. Like they're already taking equipment out, trying to get it transferred. What are you squinting over there for?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, what? What is that?
I don't know.
I don't even think I did that.
Yeah, you did. You don't even know what you're doing now. You had so many meds. Felt good outside, huh? Boy, you go outside for one zap of sun, you're like, wow, I feel great.
Yeah.
It's my vitamin D.
There's a report from NFL Network that just dropped on Rob Gronkowski. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
Sure. It's not from TV, but it's a tweet from James Palmer, who works for NFL Network. He says, a contract restructure with Rob Gronkowski is currently being worked on. If it has incentives like last year, per NFL rules, it can't be done until May 24th. I mentioned that earlier. Full calendar year from the last time he restructured his deal. That's the date to keep an eye on. Patriots' third OTA is also May 24th. There you go. Sounds like what we said earlier.
Getting close.
Yeah. It's true.
Take it for him.
What we offer you as opinion sometimes just happens to come true.
Sometimes you have to learn how to take the opinion.
Sometimes you just have to learn that an opinion is not only an opinion.
Especially whenever the opinion is repeated multiple times. Within the course of the time the opinion was done, and you time it for an hour.
Yeah.
I can't even say that. I can't even do the Jones sound.
No,
what?
What's he that they look at me?
Who's he got in with him? Is he doing
Jones himself? Is more like a...
Who's going to be the Nick Cattle's replacement? Do we know yet?
Mike Riley.
I don't know. They had a McCone had his own segment the other day, though. They called it the McCone Zone.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Oh, it had to be.
They've
electric.
All been getting their own segments. Matt McCarthy had McCarthyism.
Makes sense.
Tim McCone had the McCone Zone.
Who's going out for it? Have there been any public announcements as to who's interested in the game?
Well, it's a nationwide search.
Now, McCone, I understand that.
They should write it like prompter and let McCone try and do it doing the McCone Zone. He's a big prompter reader.
Tim McCone? He does a lot of TV. You have to in TV, sure. Pretty much. It doesn't mean he does it here.
Got to think Joe Murray's in on it.
I heard Sarge yesterday chiming in, trying to be funny several times, and they just stopped talking.
Oh.
And it's, what's wrong with you, pal? How about that? Okay.
He's got a Friday night gig that might keep him from that job, though.
Excuse me?
Who's that?
Sarge.
Oh, we found something on Sarge. Yeah.
What's
Facebook.
That?
Facebook.
You're doing a little DJing on the side? I saw.
Bar mitzvahs and, grad parties.
Jake in North Attleboro. Jake.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Jake.
So, two quick things. First off, everybody that's talking about trading Gordon Hayward, that would be the biggest mistake the Celtics could make.
Wait, is that being talked about now, too?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was brought up over the weekend about possibly trading him and a couple picks for Kawhi Leonard. But if the Celtics trade him coming off of injury, there's no free agent ever coming here again. Second take, I truthfully would not be upset if the Celtics got eliminated in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they're overachieving, and I think as soon as they make it to the finals, they're going to get smoked, either team in the West, and it's just not a good look for them.
You think it's better to lose to Cleveland than to lose in the finals?
Well, I think that if they go out fighting, like if it's not an absolute blowout like last game, and they kind of fight their way through and get eliminated in six or seven, I don't think it's as just like degrading as it is going to be whoever, either the Celtics or Cavs against anybody from the West.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes perfect sense.
No, it doesn't. Sure
it does, because now the Celtics fans are seeing it's not 2-0,
they're seeing what's
it's 2-1.
Oh, they're
writing on the wall.
Have you noticed?
No, they're already setting themselves up. It's not
today.
That bad. It's not going to be that bad if they lose in the conference finals. It's just a setup in case they get disappointed.
Oh, okay. But that still makes zero sense in the real world. Back here in reality, that doesn't make any damn sense. Better to go to the finals than to not go to the finals.
3 hours. Where's the Yahoo Green Talk going? We haven't had much of that today.
Well, yeah, because what happens is when they lose and you're talking about losing, they shut the radio off.
No, we don't want to get their ass
deal with it.
Maybe it's better they lose. You know the people that take that a point? It's the ones that say the same thing. It's better that Brady doesn't go to a Super Bowl and loses. As opposed to a guy like
that would be Tony Maserati who says that nonsense.
As opposed to Montana, who's 4-0.
I've been arguing that point with Maz for
as opposed to taking a team to 8.
Probably more.
8.
Jeez. Oh, well, Montana was 4-0. Yeah, and Brady's been to a bunch more than that. And he's got more wins.
Better off losing seven AFC title games? But he had more chances.
Yeah, oh, what, was he better off losing in the wild card round? What? Doesn't make any sense. Got to get to the finals. Got to get there. Be great. Even if you do get swept or you get embarrassed, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Get there first. Then worry about it.
Hey, we got a 100-pound story coming up pretty soon?
Yeah, fine. We'll get to that right off the top of the 1 o'clock hour.
Oh.
Zoe's rethought fighting a bear. He now thinks it's probably a bad idea. Two guys and a cougar going in the woods. We'll tell you what happened next.